We'd like to thank our sponsor, SLC Guitar, for another sweet guitar riff. Welcome to another episode of Build with Breen Holmes, where we talk all things construction, business management, and just have a good old time behind the microphone.
Mr. Breen.
What's up, buddy?
Not much, man.
I love that we always start off with that. Makes me feel good.
I do too.
Makes me smile. It's the little things in life that make me smile nowadays.
We got to come up with something for Miss Charity.
Now we too.
Yeah, I think we might as well.
Usually when we mention her name, we go down this path of things we shouldn't talk about. So
yeah, maybe next time.
Quiet.
Maybe next time.
I got a haircut. Let's not talk about it. I was late today.
Yeah, let's not talk about
all
it.
Right.
That's a good idea.
All right. We won't talk about it. But what are we going to talk about?
All right, dude. I got one today for us. Okay. In fact, I was thinking about it last week when we were supposed to record, mm-hmm. and I was like, man, okay, we got to get back on task of like construction related items. And I didn't have anything off the top of my head. And then today in my team's production meeting, correlation meeting, whatever we want to call it, we kind of got off on this tangent. Usually we go through every job, hit every job of like, what's important? What are we missing? What do we need to correlate and talk to every department about, you know, about, so to speak. Yes. But before we start jobs, you say, what general items do we need to hit? Like, let's just like the overwhelming arching issues that we're dealing with right now. We try to keep this meeting to like a 45 minute to an hour long meeting. So it's really pretty condensed. And my project manager brought up issues with some subcontractors on jobs. And ultimately we kind of nailed this topic of like, for lack of better words, regaining control of the job site. And I think that's an important topic for us to review. And the reason I bring this up is because it's not that we're not in control of our job site, so to speak. But I started thinking about the structure of a lot of these subcontractor companies that we hire.
Okay, wait a minute. So let me back you up. When you say regaining control of a job site, you got to give me an example of what out of control would look like.
Good call. Bombs, grenades going off all over the place, you know, mud spit,
shots fired.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good question. I feel like we're out of control when we don't know who is on the job and what they're doing.
Good point.
Okay. And I would be curious to know in past positions that you've had when you've worked in the construction section of the industry, if you could confidently say that whether you were in the project management position or somebody else was in a project management position, if they knew what time and who was on the job at what job, so to speak, everybody, delivery drivers, you know, maintenance and what's called like toilet cleaners, garbage guys, that kind of stuff, subcontractors installing a product. Time, day, all the above.
I'd confidently say it's hit or miss.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And I think it's gotten worse. And that's what came up out of our conversation today is like, how many companies now do we know sublet the work that they do out to another crew? They don't own the crew. Yeah. And I got going on, like it turned into this 45-minute discussion where I went, well, hold on, our contract says that our subcontractors can't sublet our work or subcontract our work out. Right. Yet they do. I mean, again, how many subcontractors do you know don't own the crews that they work with? They sub it out to whether it's a concrete company, a siding company. You know, I think most of them have. You're looking around. There's not aliens in here. Oh, it's a nice machine.
I'm hearing some. Oh, okay. That's what it is. All right. What is that?
See, the difference is I can keep focused and keep going even when I'm hearing it.
I'm squirrel.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, I kind of just got like down this path. And I tried not to like take over our entire production and correlation meeting discussing this stuff. But it became so apparent to me. And I do think it's the way businesses are starting to structure more as you get more investment money and seed money coming in and buying conglomerates of companies and putting them together that are still owned and managed by the owner, but now is the manager because he's working under a conglomerate of getting this big investment fund. You know, that's huge. It's also just the salesmen that come in and go, well, we don't need to own all of the liability of the business. It's too expensive to own all the employees. So let's create the name, create the brand, and sell the contracts, and then sublet all the work out. You know, like I do think this is a way of a lot of parts of the industry. So I'm curious your take, if you've seen some of that in the positions that you've been in more recently or are in. When I say see some of that, asking if the subcontractors you know actually own the employees employ the employees or if they are subcontracted out crews or other companies?
That's a really good question. I can't speak on that per se. I will say, yes, I have seen subcontractors subbing out the work that they have been contracted to do, but not often.
Yeah.
As far as...
What about parts of the work they're doing? Like, let's take, for example, you take an exterior company. Again, don't know the exterior companies y'all have worked with, don't need to name them.
Yeah.
But if you hire a company to come in and do the siding, the paint, the metal, the stone, the brick, the wood, it's not all... Do they own all those crews or are they hiring a different company to do the masonry and a different company to do the siding, soffit and fascia and roof?
Yeah, I would say, in the past I've seen like a landscape company. Mm-hmm. I would say landscape company, right? Like can do everything except flat work or fence insulation, right? So they'll contract that out through somebody else.
Yeah. Do you know if the subcontractor agreements you've dealt with in the past allow that or don't allow that? Most of them, I'd say, would not.
Yeah, I can't speak on that, but I would say the same. Yeah,
probably
I would
not.
I wouldn't think it would be allowed.
Where we run into the issue is like, cool, what's the point?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of liabilities that come into play with that, but I think the point is, now all of a sudden you're playing the telephone game, right? I work with, or not necessarily me, maybe I form a relationship with the other business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And then my estimator forms a relationship with their estimator or their, you know, contract, whoever that person is.
Yep.
And then they kick it to a project manager that goes to my project manager. So we're already three layers deep.
Yeah.
And then their project manager is communicating with my project manager, but their project manager is sending the workers, the crew, foreman, and the crew out to the job. And oftentimes that crew is not owned by that company,
right?
I.e. a flat work and a landscaper, which is one we've just recently dealt with. And suddenly those guys are hearing from the project manager of the company that hired them to go show up to this address and do the work. And now a concrete truck is pulling up with a pump that was supplied by somebody that I don't even know.
Right.
No company I know, no driver I know, no foreman that I know. And so how in the world do they communicate back to my project manager that they're going to show up Tuesday at 11 a.m.?
Great point.
And so if my project manager is not parked there, sitting there, you know, waiting for somebody to show up because he's running other jobs,
right,
now all of a sudden those guys show up and do something wrong, day late, dollar short. You know, and all of this came out because it's funny of where this came, you know, let's fester where this problem came from. We were arguing a little bit about how much we expect to be in a purchase contract, a purchase order, a scope of work. Mm-hmm. So on like a flat work, we're talking specifically about a slab that has a pool house going on top. And I was like, we don't need to go to all this extra work of traditional footing and foundations, digging the whole thing deep. Let's just do a monolithic pour where you do a thickened edge, do a 12-inch thick edge.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we can drill and epoxy the bolts in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, is this... Do I really need to go back to the landscaping company and get with the estimator and say, hey, can you thicken up the, or can you just, when the crews are there, can you just tell them, hey guys, can you do a thickened edge?
Yeah.
Can you just communicate that instead of me having to go all the way back through our scopes of work, change our contracts, get the paperwork out, print it out again, make sure you have the right paperwork, redline the plans. This seems like a lot of paralysis by analysis. So can, I literally was like, can you just tell them on the job site when they get there, like, guys, I need a thickened edge. 8 to 12 inches thick on this edge.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, problem is I don't know who's coming. Like, I don't know who to talk to.
Wait, your team member said that?
Yes. And I almost blew a lid. Okay. I almost blew a lid.
I could see that.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, slow the fuck down. You know? Yeah. Like, let's talk about this. But then I came back and I was like, good point. I said, we need to regain control of our jobs.
Mm.
If we don't know who's showing up, when they're showing up and why they're showing up. Like, I want you to prove a point, and next time someone shows up to a job and pours this huge slab, roll out there and just like flip out, throw your hands up and be like, what are you doing? This is the wrong job. I'm not paying you. I don't know what you're talking. Get your shit, figure out how to get it out of here because I don't want it there.
Yeah.
Prove a point.
That'd be a great exercise, you know? For sure.
Yeah. Or like the guys that he brought up some Dexters, was like, shows up to the job and he's like, they routed the inset LED lighting that we're putting in the wrong way. And I was like, good. Did you tell him to pull it off and go get new stuff and come fix it? And he's like, well, no. I said, why? You know, how do we scream yeah. on these jobs, don't do anything till you call us? But yet he's going, well, hold on. I only do work that I'm allowed to do, and I'm only allowed to do the work that's on my scope of work here in front of me. Yeah. So, like, in theory, I shouldn't have to show up and tell these guys to pour a thickened edge on that slab. They should already have it in their scope of work.
It's true. Yeah.
Okay.
So do you use softwares like BuilderTrend and stuff?
Yeah,
like
we're too? Currently using Resio. We moved from BuilderTrend. Yeah. Yeah, Bill just trying to kind of rub me wrong. Yeah, I know. Slander you guys. No, BuilderTrend's actually a really, really, really good software. So we can leave this in and quote their name.
Okay.
I ultimately kind of came to where it was not working for me. I feel like they were growing their company and bringing in sister support companies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. As opposed and trying to add what they believed was value to the users using their software so that they could charge more because they're saying we produce so much more. Yeah. And I just wanted them to work on their construction management software that I felt like was starting to get a little conglomerate and chunky as it worked. So moved over to kind of a younger company called Resio. That's more or less fairly new. And it's kind of a break off of, you'll learn a lot of the guys in the construction management software world are break off from BuilderTrend.
Yeah.
These guys kind of, a lot of them broke off from BuilderTrend.
Yes. Resio?
Yeah. Resio. It definitely has its new feels. It's learning, but so far it's been great. You know, certain things I love about it.
So my question is what I used to see a lot of is site managers using that software and working with a trade partner, but just giving them the information.
Right.
Hey, this is what I want. This is taken care of. I could see that being even more detrimental, right? If, okay, site manager gives it to the person you have a contract with, trade you have a contract with, they give it to somebody else. Less information. They give it to another person with even less information.
Right.
And then all of a sudden something happens. The communication, you're playing that telephone game, right?
Right. Totally.
Comes across. And then all of a sudden, to your point, there's an issue.
Right. But
no, it's supposed to be like this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what information did you get?
That's not what my paperwork says.
Exactly. Where did you get
this? Oftentimes we would love to have the picture perfect world in the software.
100%. Right.
Then you got to make sure they all have access to the picture perfect world in the software.
It's cost money.
And I don't care about that. Like happy to put that in and build out the framework that it takes to have that in there. But once again, if I contract with subcontractor A, if you take that my subcontractor agreement is with the subcontractor I'm working with, in order for them to give access to whoever they subcontracted out to, they've got to make sure they have a login or access to theirs, or I have to give them a login in, therefore I have to know who they are. And literally there is liability issues. Like I need to make sure that company has liabilities insurance, workers' comp, you know, all the above general insurance to be on my job. But in theory, I look back at these guys. And so now you talk about a three-way issue of, well, what if they don't get paid, you know, but I paid them, or I say, hey, I'm not paying them because they did something wrong.
Yeah.
So like there is the liability issues we haven't even gotten into. I think ultimately I'm still just talking about the communication issue.
Yeah.
And this is where I came back to like, okay, guys, like I want us to regain control of our job. And I don't feel like there should be anything wrong for me to tell a project manager of like, can we just forget all the rigmarole and stop the paralysis by analysis and you just tell them to do it while they're there? Like at what point, I literally put that back in my PM of just like, dude, you have got to get control of this. And I don't know how we scream so loud that gets enough attention that says, hey, if you're going to pull up on this job, you better call this guy before you do anything, you know? But I think it's safe to say that no one's perfect in that world.
Right.
You know, I mean, we've had massive jobs that you could go work on the west wing of the job. I wouldn't know you were there all day long.
Right.
I couldn't even make it to the other end of the house by the end of the day, by the time getting through all the issues I was dealing with on one end of the job, you know? So in theory, it's like you could have 60 people working on a job. And did you talk to every employee that was there that day? Probably not, you know? So yeah, I kind of bring up the question of, you know, you throw out the idea, and I don't mean to just like shoot it down like, nope, it doesn't work on software. I mean, there's QR codes that we can use. There's softwares that we can use. There's plans that we can use. Like, we could go on this whole tangent about how do we keep the right set of plans on the job? Because, I mean, how many RFIs and change orders do you deal with?
Shit, hundreds.
Okay, so how in the world do you make sure those get to the job site set of plans? And then what happens when you call the city inspector and he's like, this isn't the city inspection set of plans? So do you take every RFI and change order and take it back through the city to get the city stamp on it? No, they happen way too often.
Yeah.
You can't do that. So now all of a sudden you got the city plans set of plans that have the permit on it. And then you got the working set of plans that's getting changed 1, 2, 3, 400 times per job. I mean, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 times a week. It's like, then I start kind of putting this big picture together. Like, those are the confusion issues that not software is supposed to solve, but when I say regain control of the job.